Wow, this is great stuff. I love church, and I'm glad, man. If you're here for the first time, we welcome you to Believers Chapel. This is just what we do on Sundays, man. It's just average day on Sundays, man. This is how we roll. We believe God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, he deserves to be worshipped because he is God Almighty. He would send his only begotten son to a cross to die for us. What a beautiful picture that is. We believe the word of God is the absolute truth, and we are stand on it unashamed of what it says and who we're called to be. Not ashamed one inch of who we are in Christ. And man, we welcome you to our service this morning, man. Pumped that you're part of the family today. Love this family. Come on, if you would turn with me, please, two places, Numbers 13 and John 19. Numbers 13 and John 19. Man, I didn't know if you knew it or yet, but maybe you're wise enough to pick up on the fact that we're Steeler fans here. If you miss that at the baby dedication, you should just somebody kick them or wake them up or something. But I saw on ESPN this week, it was a great report on the New York Jets that they quite possibly could have the worst offense in the history of the NFL. And I thought that was comical. I thought that was great. We have room for you Jets fans as Steeler fans. You're more than welcome to come over. We'd love it. The Bills fans, you got a bunch of high school players, and you're getting rid of all of your all-stars, and you guys are just going to be terrible again. And you know it. You can't even argue because you know you're going to be terrible. And I hear it all the time. Oh, we're in a rebuilding year. It's been a rebuilding year for 17 years. Like, the rebuilding year is this extensive year that never ends for you people. And it's just, it's hilarious. Get on with the word. See, you got nothing good to say about the Bills. For the first time in the history, my dad has nothing good to say about the Buffalo Bills. It's a glorious moment. Let's pause just for a moment. Come on, Numbers 13. Lord, speak to us, please, in this place. Father, we just turn to you. Speak to us that we may hear from you today. Come on, Numbers 13 says this, and we're going to talk about this. This is where we're going this morning in a brief time, man. We got about 30 minutes, 25 minutes. I'm going to hold you a little bit extra because it's going to be worth it for you. And I believe God is going to speak into you this morning. Already, man, already myself, I walk out challenged and changed. I already walk out knowing that I'm a child of God. And this, I'm telling you, church, can I tell you, this series has done so much for me. It has breathed life into your pastor, and I am pumped about the things that God is sharing with me. And I have the privilege to just speak to you on it, man. And this is where we're at. Numbers 13, we're going to talk about what it is when the enemy tries to get us to fear. Where the enemy tries to get us, we're right at that place, church. We're right here. We're right on the edge of victory. We're right on the edge of God's plan coming through. We're right on the edge of what's next for us, and we know that it's God, and we're right here. And the enemy tries to come in to take us out. And it starts with deception within the mind. That's where it starts. And we're going to see this amazing, perfect picture of this in Numbers 13 and 14. Numbers 13 says this, then the Lord spoke to Moses, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send out for yourself men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give to the sons of Israel. I love this. Send out for yourself. Come on, note what it says here. God Almighty says, Moses, send out for yourself men who will spy out the land that I'm going to give you. There's two huge keys in this. He says, send out for yourself spies. They are going to spy out the land. Go check out the land. See the fruit of the land. See if it's fruitful. See who's in the land. See if they're big. See if the cities are fortified. Go out and spy it out for yourself. Church, please hear this. It's not like God needed the report. God didn't need to know what was in the land. He created the land. He's the one who put the milk and honey there. He's the one who knew that they were giants in the land. None of this, church, was as a, why does it say, go spy it out for yourself? God's like, I don't need the report. It's not like you're going to bring back a report and I'm going to be shocked that there's giants in the land. I'm not going to be shocked that it flows with milk and honey. No. I got you right here. You're right on the edge. You're just a couple miles away from the promised land that I promised you. What I'm asking is you should go in and you go see what it is for yourself. You go spy out the land and you see for yourself. And he gives him a promise. This is the land that I am going to give to you. The creator of the universe, the one who put the sun, the moon, the stars, the one who put the milk and honey in the land, was not surprised one inch that there are giants in the land. And he says, it's your land. Go get it. And it's just, church, you got to know, man, they were right on the edge. They were miles away, miles from the promised land. All they had to do is walk and go get it. So he sends the spies out. Verse 21 says this, So they went up, spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rahab, and they go in and they identify where they went to. And I got to kind of speed read, just come on, stick with me. They came back with this cluster of grapes, and it was just this enormous fruit that was just unseen, man. It's incredible. This land did certainly flow with milk and honey, and it's absolutely a beautiful land. And they were there for 40 days. And then they brought back word to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And then verse 27 says this: thus they told them and said, we went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. And they show them the evidence of this amazing land, reminding that, listen, God said that I'm giving you this land. This is your land. Just send spies in. Come back with a report. See for yourself. God's like, I don't need the report. I created the land. I know what's in the land. But see for yourself what's in the land. And they went in, and they went in with 12 strong. And they came back. And verse 28 is just, oh, it's so hurtful. It says this: nevertheless, here's the land, and it's beautiful, and it certainly flows with milk and honey. And look at the fruit. It's incredible. But... however, nevertheless, church, what happens when your mind, church, again, the power of the thoughts, what happens when your mind goes from that which is so perfect about the land and understanding this is the land that God's given us, and then you throw a nevertheless in there? How many times do we throw a however in our head? And you come to a place to know that the enemy attacks, he starts in the mind. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. That means there's giants in the land. Church, can I ask you this? Like, when you know you're on that threshold, man, you know you're in that doorway. You know that I'm about to take my next step into victory. I know that I'm going to a place that God has promised. I'm following out his plan. I know who I am, and God is putting this, and I know where I'm going. And you come to that place that you're at the just steps away from victory, and all of a sudden a giant shows up. All of a sudden an obstacle shows up. Do we spend more time on the giant that's before us? Do we spend more time on the circumstance that's before us, trying to delay us following in the word of God, trying to delay us walking in to that next step? You know that God has a plan for you, and you know you're moving into something that is really supernatural, something that is completely out of your ability, and you're walking there, and you're so close, and all of a sudden there's a giant. How many times does that happen to you and I when we're right there, we're right on the threshold of victory, and all of a sudden something happens? And we put more stock into the giant. We put more stock into the obstacle. We put more stock into the circumstance than we do in the guarantee of the victory that God's walking us in. Church, when we come into this place, and you got to remember, man, I'm just a police officer. I love being a cop. I just want to chase bad guys. If they were going to run, I want them to run from me. Please, pick me. We'll have a blast. I'll run alongside of you. And I'm a bad guy. People would run, and I'd just keep up, and I would run next to them and have a conversation with them, and they're just trying to run, and this was a long time ago. I don't do that now. I just pray that I can catch them, and it works. But I would run alongside of them and just have fun with them and talk to them, say, hey, how's your day? How you going? Like, I'm about to tackle you, just so you know, we're going to hit the ground pretty. And they wouldn't know what to do with themselves. It was fun. And I loved being a cop. That's what I did. That's a true story. And God has allowed us to do something completely way out of our ability to do in leading a church. And we're just ordinary people, and God's done an amazing work, and you walk in this place. And I still walk in this place amazed and thankful for all the hands. And this is only phase one, church. We have so much to do. We have so many people to reach. But man, with my staff and with the board of directors, just in the very beginning of this thing, a year ago, man, we would have meetings. And I say, listen, we're about to infringe on something that's never, ever happened in our area for a church this size, for a non-denominational church. It's never seen what God is planning. And we are in this place of growth at BC West, and it's just been dynamic. But don't think it's not going to be without the enemy trying to show up. Don't think it's not going to be right before we come to the threshold, right before we're about to gain entrance. Don't you think that there's going to be obstacles? And man, I warned the team and I warned the staff, guard your heart and guard your mind and be very careful. And man, wouldn't you know it, that right before the threshold, there was obstacles, and there's all kinds of things that we had to win from the city, which they're very gracious now. We're wonderful. But it took a while, man. It took, did we keep our eyes on the obstacle? Did we say, God, this is your plan, and you're going to cause us to go over. Whatever it takes, we're going to have the building. And I warn the staff, you got to be careful. Guard your heart and guard your mind. And man, when you understand that, when you know that you're on the threshold, when you know God to have a purpose for you, when you know you're right on the edge, man, I'm right there. Man, you expect the giants to show up, but you understand who God is, and you understand your identity, and you realize God said to Moses in the beginning, I'm giving you the land. It's already your land. Go see for yourself and spy it out. You come to this place. Church, what happens when 10 out of the 12 come back with a nevertheless? Somewhere in the middle of the promised land, surrounded by this abundant fruit, looking at the milk and honey, looking at the abundance of this place like they've never seen. You got to remember, these guys are coming as refugees. These guys are coming from Egypt in slavery. They've never seen anything like this. They have never been free, and they come to this place from refugees. They were homeless. They had nothing, to walk into a land that was absolutely amazing and abundant. And God says, it's yours. Go in and get it. Somewhere in the middle of that, the enemy shows up in their heads. You think he only showed up to 10? Or do you think he showed up to all 12 to try to deceive them and try to bring fear, to try to bring that fear? There's no way. Look at their descendants of Anak. Look at how big they are. They're 9 feet plus tall. They're giants, and we're refugees. We've got nothing to fight with, man. We're homeless. We've got nothing. Look at their cities are fortified, man. They have everything it takes for battle and for war. We've got nothing but a backpack, man. We got nothing. We're refugees. We're homeless. We're just coming from slavery. How on earth are we ever going to fight them? And you've got 10 voices on the nevertheless that they saw the giants, and then you've got two that ignored that voice of the enemy. And you got to believe that he talked to all of them. Then here it is. Here it is right here, verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people. I can just see Caleb going, shut up, stop this. We're not going to walk in deception. Listen, Moses, you heard from the Lord, and he said, this is our land, and we're going to take this land. And I love what he says. This is what he says. Quieted the people before Moses said, we should by all means. I love this. I love this. We should by all means. Look at the confidence in this. We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. Stop looking at the giants. Stop looking at the fortified cities. Begin to understand God said it's our land, and we absolutely have the ability to overcome it. But church, what happens when that fear enters into your mind? What happens when that deceit begins to enter your mind? What happens when the enemy begins to lie to you and he takes you out right here? Right here is where he wants to take you out, 1 inch away from victory. He can take you out 1 inch away from victory, or he can take you out years before this when they're in slavery. What's the difference? 1 inch, man, right here. You're on the line, and you're so close to victory. And all of a sudden, there's a giant standing in front of you, like we should be surprised by that. And I love this. Here it is. Here it is. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. Church, when is it when we're going to realize outside of the Holy Spirit within us, we're not able to do anything? When do we come to realize that I'm just a simple man who loves to catch bad guys, and God called us to do this incredible, magnificent work with the greatest congregation on the planet, this community of people who've just come together with the purpose of winning the lost and building our families in such a way that we are going to have this reverence and fear of God, that we're going to do things His way no matter what, no matter what the cost. I'm going to surrender to Him, and I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel. And that is the community of Believers Chapel, that if we try to do this in our own strength and our own ability, we would flop dead, church. What happens when we really understand we can't do anything in our own ability had it not been for the Spirit of the living God that dwells and remains within us? It wasn't them who were fighting. And I love this. Here it is. This is Caleb again. He begins to speak, and he begins to look at verse chapter 14, verse 1. I want you to see this. Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And look at this. All the sons of Israel grumbled, or they complained against Moses and Aaron. Isn't it amazing that they began to complain against the leadership? They began to grumble against them. They began to say, wouldn't it have been better just to be slaves? Wouldn't it have been better just not ever? Look at Moses, you led us out of slavery just to come to this place inches away from victory just so we can go in the land and get destroyed. There's no way we're able to go in there and fight against them. They'll crush us. They're giants. They're huge. The cities are fortified. It would have been better to be slaves. Come on, church, it's crazy that their minds were so deceived, that the enemy got so in. Remember, we don't fight against flesh and blood. It's against powers and principalities. It's against the enemies that try to come into our head and get us to think other than God said. God said, go in. I've already given you the land. That's what he said. It was a promise. It was a guarantee. You think that's not going to happen? It's amazing that they began to complain and grumble and began to come against the leadership, and they become against Moses and Aaron, who led. And I love this. Here it is, verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their face, the presence of all the assembly of the congregation, the sons of Israel, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who those who had spied out the land tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation, the sons of Israel, and the land which we passed through. Look at this. Watch this. The land that we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. Come on, come on. Get your mind back. Get your head off the giants. Get your head off the fortified cities. Get your head. You're already walking in defeat and you haven't really crossed the line. I love what they do here. Check out what they do. They bring their mindset right back to a place of victory. Look at, the land is exceedingly good. Man, this is the most amazing. Remember, we're slaves. Remember, we're homeless. Remember, we've got nothing. Remember, we're refugees. We've got nothing. And this land, we've never seen anything like this. Man, it's incredible. And I love where Joshua and Caleb tried to bring their mind. It's all in the head, folks. You try to bring your mind back to the things that are going so good. And then here it is. Verse 8, if the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, in the land which flows with milk and honey. Look at this, right back to the mindset. Only, I love this, here it is, only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Excuse me. Listen, when you get this picture, their protection has been removed from them. Listen, we're not going to fear them. We're going to walk under the protection. They could have gone in there with a straw and a spitball and taken out the giants, church. No, seriously. They didn't have anything. They were refugees. They could have walked in there with a straw and a spitball, and God somehow, some way, would have overcome any giants in the land because their protection was taken from them. And they're like, listen, God has already given us the land. It's ours to possess. All we're called to do is go. All we're called to do is get past this point of fear, this point that the enemy is attacked, this point where the giants are in our face. We just have to take that next step. We just have to. Church, come on, how many times does the enemy get right in your face right before you're called to go? Right before something big happens, he takes you out. When God has said, listen, Moses, I've given you the land. All you got to do is go. Go with your pea shooters, man. Go with your spitballs. Throw mud at him. It doesn't matter. The victory is yours. For the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And this is crazy. But all the congregation, verse 10, said to stone them with stones. Really? Isn't it awful that 10 poisoned? At this point, they're saying possibly millions. 10. Poisoned possibly millions of minds of all of Israel. So much so that they wanted to take out the only ones who were standing in faith. The only ones who were saying, come on, we're right on the edge. We're miles away. And then look at this. But then God shows up and he says this. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent meeting to the sons of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people spurn me, and how long will they not believe in me despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst? Church, this is huge. This is huge. When you get this, here God is saying, listen, do you not remember just Egypt just a bit ago? Do you not remember the 10 plagues that I released you from slavery, from bondage? Do you not remember the cloud by day and the cloud by night, the fire by night to be able to see? Do you not remember how I fed you? Do you not remember that crazy, amazing thing I did with the sea, that you would walk on dry ground and then it closed on all your enemies? Did you forget all that? I love God. It says, how long am I going to put up with these people? Church, why is it? Church, please hear this, man. Why is it that in our minds, again, the power of our thoughts, why is it when fear enters in? Please get this, because this is so true. When fear enters in, we forget what God has done. We forget all the amazing things that God has done when we're right there at the threshold, going in to that whatever God has next. So many times the enemy just wants to come deceive you and take you out before you ever walk in, and you forgot all that God has done for you. Church, so many times we become a people of, well, what have you done for me lately? And that is complete, total lie and deception. Had it only just been the cross of Jesus Christ, we owe him everything. We owe him everything based off an action done 2,000 years ago before you were ever born. But we are such a people of a today, here, and now people that we forget. And God's like, despite all that I've done for you, you're actually going to be afraid? You're not going forward? You've let the enemy come in and get into your head? After all I've done for you, you're going to let the enemy take you out because of fear? Church, how many times have you been right here, man? Right here on the edge. And the enemy comes and takes you out. And you've looked at all the why I shouldn't go now. And you forgot the one why I should go, because God said. We're going to see this amazing picture in John 19, and then we'll close this out just a couple more minutes. And I want you to hear this, please. This is an amazing picture of Jesus. Man, church, when you make it so personal on what Jesus went through for you and me, when you say that was for me, you understand that Jesus left heaven in absolute perfection to come to earth through flesh. Through the Virgin Mary, he came to earth and he was spotless and he was innocent. He was very much, very much on purpose. Luke 9:51 says there was a moment that he set his face towards Jerusalem. He was determined, a resolute determination. He made up his mind, church. It's time I go to Jerusalem. Nothing is going to get in my way. Nothing is going to slow me down. I've got to get to the cross. That's my purpose for coming. Sean Obergefell needs to be saved. I need to get to the cross. The Bible says he set his mind, or he was resolute, determined to get to Jerusalem, which means his mind was set. His face was set towards Jerusalem, and nothing was going to get in his way. And you come to the place, he gets arrested, and now he's before Pilate. John 19, verse 1, this is amazing. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him scourged. So simple when you just read it, but when you break it down, it's they stripped him naked, tied him to a post in a public forum, and you had these huge centurion shoulders, soldiers with these they're called cat of nine tails, and it's a whip that has little stones in it and then sharp edge, maybe from rock or from slate or from glass or pottery or whatever, that they had so sharp that the little balls would tenderize the skin, and then these sharp edges would come in and just shred your skin. And here he's naked, tied to a post, and these Roman soldiers are just tuning him up with these whips, and he's just being shredded from head to toe. And Pilate took Jesus and had him whipped or scourged or flogged. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns, and they put it on his head and a purple robe on him, and they began to come up to him and say, "Hail, King of the Jews." And then they gave him slaps in the face like he's nobody. Like he's a joke, like he's just another one being crucified, like it meant nothing. But aren't you glad that we, post-scriptures reading, post-truth, we get to know the absolute truth that he is my Savior and he is my Lord and he is my King. And that was for me, and he stood there and he took it. He just took it. Because at any moment he could have called down 72,000 angels. At any moment he could have come off that cross and demanded that every person take a knee. But if that would have happened, we'd have no hope for salvation. Every one of us would be lost in our sin. Had it not been for Jesus being unashamed of me, had it not been for my King being fearless. Listen, he experienced every emotion that we would fear. There was moments of fear. There was moments of doubt. The Bible says he experienced everything on the human side that you and I would ever experience. He's in the garden. He's on his face before his Father saying, "Lord, if there's any other way, Man, I don't want to go through with this. I know what's ahead. I know that this is the plan. I know that this has to happen. I know that I've got to get to the cross, but I know that it's going to cost me you. And I know for the first time in all of eternity, you're going to have to turn your back on me, and your wrath is going to be poured out on me. And for the first time, I'm going to feel that wrath like I've never, ever known, because we've always walked in such unity. We've always been one. And for the first time in forever, you're going to abandon me. And he says, if there's any other way. And the father never answers him, except his answer was this soldier force coming with torches and swords to arrest him, going, son, there's your answer. It's time to go. And here we see Jesus. He's been flogged. He's got these crown of thorns on his head, and they're just slapping him in the face like he's nothing. This is my Jesus, man. This is my King. And Pilate came out again, and he said to them, behold, I am bringing him out so that you may know that I find no guilt in him. Verse 4. Jesus then came out wearing a crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, behold the man. When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify, crucify. And Pilate said to them, take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him. The Jews answered and said, we have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself out to be the Son of God. Therefore, when Pilate heard the statement, he was even more afraid. Verse 9. Here it is, church. Here it is. This is our fearless King who set his face towards Jerusalem to get to that place to hang on a cross for me and you. And he entered in the praetorium again, and he said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, you do not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you? Now look at Jesus' answer. It's amazing. It's brilliant. It's fearless. Jesus answered, you would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from above. Hey, Pilate, guess what? This ain't your plan. Hey, Pilate, guess what? Guess what? Me being here, you had nothing to do with that, Pilate. Hey, guess what? The whole idea of the crucifixion, the whole idea of the scourging, these very crowns on my head, Pilate, that had nothing to do with you. This was not your plan. This was God's plan in all of humanity, that there would be a freedom from sin. There'd be a redemption. There'd be a buying back. There'd be a reconciliation. He says, listen, you have no authority over me. He said, Pilate, you missed it, man. This ain't your plan. This is God's plan from the beginning. And I love this. I love this. To pick it up in Isaiah 50, I just want to read this to you because it's brilliant. And this is Jesus speaking. He says this, I gave my back to those who strike me. Church, this is my fearless King for me. And this is Jesus for you. I gave my back to those who strike me and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. And if you have facial hair in this place, men, if you really understand what it is that somebody would take your beard and just begin to pull and tug by their hand, not by a razor, not by a shaver, not by scissors, but they would on purpose rip your face apart by ripping out your beard, that is excruciating. And Jesus says, I gave that to them. I didn't hide my back so you can't hit me. I actually turned around and made it so available that you would just have free access to my back. I looked at you and I didn't try to hide my face so you couldn't get my beard. I stood there like a man so that you could just come and have free will to take out my beard from my face. That's Jesus, church. That's our King who is the greatest King. He is the King above all kings, and he is the Lord above all lords, and he is the one who went to the cross unashamed and bold, not in hiding, not trying to get away from it, not hiding his back, not hiding his face. I gave my back to those who strike me. I gave my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. Can you get this picture? In all of this, Jesus stood there and took it all proudly. Why? Because Sean Oberfeld needed to be saved. He didn't let fear and doubt not let him cross that threshold. He says, I'm going. I have set my face towards Jerusalem. My mind is made up. I've got a determined resolution that I've got to get this done. And he was right there, church. Do you get it? Do you get it? He was right on the edge. He could have called down the angels. He could have demanded. No, you've got it all wrong. Every single one of you bow, I'm done with this game. But he didn't. Please hear this, the greatest king of all kings, the king that is above every king, the king of the Jews, the king of the nations, the Lord of all lords, the one that every knee eventually will bow and every tongue will confess that he is. He stood fearless, overcoming any doubt, overcoming any fear. He would never allow that deception to enter his mind, to take the highway to the heart, to walk and allow fear to dictate our king. I love this. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. I just see Jesus just going toe-to-toe and just standing there quiet. And just getting so tuned up and physically destroyed because it had to happen that way. Because I needed to be saved. I was desperate. Church, we all need to be saved. And it was Jesus. For the Lord, here it is, here it is. For the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. I know, this is Jesus speaking, I know that I will not be ashamed. What happens when you know that you're right there, and you know the fear is trying to creep in, and you know the enemy is trying to lie to you, and you know the enemy is trying to take you out, and you know the enemy is trying to deceive you, and he's not coming in this ugly, evil picture. He will come as an angel of light, and he will use people to try to take you out. He will use people to try to stop you from just taking that next step. When we see this amazing picture of Jesus where he stood strong, unashamed, and you and I are called to be bold, and you and I are called to be unashamed of the gospel, and you and I are called to not waver on truth, and you and I are called, no matter what the stakes, no matter what it takes, we will stand on the absolute truth of God, and we will not be in fear of it, and we will walk not ashamed of it, but we will walk proud of it as child of God. That is my identity. That is who I am, and I belong to him through the amazing work of the cross that I am his. And I see what my king, he did it for me. Church, can we go back to Numbers just for a minute in our heads to say, how could they not go forward knowing all that I've done for them? Church, knowing all that Jesus has done for you and I, how do we not stand strong, unashamed, and come right to that place, even when the giants come before us, even when deception begins to enter into our minds? We say, no way, not today. Come on, just bow our heads, please, just for a moment. Jesus, we just, wherever we're at in this, can I ask you just personally, man, where are you in this? Just got to have a plan for you. Do you know you're right on the edge of that plan? You're right there, man. You can see it. You can taste it. You can feel it. You're a couple steps away from victory. And yet you've seen the giants and you've seen the obstacles and you've seen the circumstances and you've taken your eyes off of that couple steps to victory. You're in this place and you know the enemy is trying to take you out. The enemy's trying to take your marriage. He's trying to take your kids. He's a liar, church. He's a liar. He'll use whatever it takes to lie to you to try to take you out. One step away. One step away. Remember, Jesus took that step. There was nothing. He took it without humiliation. He was not ashamed of Sean Obergefell. He freely gave up his back and he freely gave up his cheeks and he freely allowed them to spit and he freely went to the cross. He says, no one takes my life. Pilate, you don't get it. No one takes my life. I lay it down on my own initiative. I lay it down for the sheep. I'm here on purpose. This is my purpose. I'm the one laying my life down. The Father has done this. It has nothing to do with you, Pilate. Our King is amazing, church. He's wonderful and he's beautiful. And he gave his life for us, fearless. Took that step of victory. Jesus, we're just in this moment, we're just amazed by you. We thank you. We thank you. We love you. We owe you everything. Help us to be a fearless bunch. Help us to be strong. Help us to identify the giants that are from the enemy. Help us to identify the circumstance. Help us to identify people trying to take us out. God, help us to see it. Help us to see it. Help us to walk fearless. We're one step away from victory. Lord, help us, please. Where are you, church? Where are you in this? That you would confidently say, in this moment, you would say, God, I'm one step away and nothing's going to stop me. Moses, pick for yourself spies, for yourself to go into the land that I am giving to you. What has God promised you, church? Lord, we owe you everything. We thank you for this moment. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Amen. Wow. Church, I love church. I love you. I thank God for you. Next week, we're going into our final in this Power of the Thoughts, and we're just really going in to define some words, and just, it's going to be powerful next week. Don't miss it. Bring somebody. 9 or 11 o'clock, man, we're just seeing God do some amazing things. Can you just look around at this 11 o'clock service in the middle of summer, church? You can't fit in the other building in two services with this. It's just crazy what God's doing, and we're amazed by it, and we're at awe, and we were able to cross that edge. There was obstacles and there was people in the way and we were able to cross that edge and look at the victory, man. Look at what God's doing in so many amazing lives. And this series has been so good for me. It's been refreshing in my mind. It's been powerful for me. Man, I've been hearing some great reports from you as well. And I just thank God that you are here today. And I believe we walk out challenged and different and encouraged and built up. Man, I hope that's true for you because it is for me. God bless you, man. Can we give God thanks, please? Amen.